What's going on, everybody? Thad from Punk Mouth Radio here, back for episode 7 of Punk Mouth Radio, brought to you by the one and only Nerdcore Network. I'm Thad of Punk Mouth, of course, joined by my fabulous co-host for the second time in a row, Allie. How are you, Allie?
I'm doing great. It's Thursday, got less than 24 hours till the weekend hits, and I'm just living it up right now.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to a party on Friday.
Ooh, nice.
And then Sunday, I'm going to be looking at apartments.
Okay. So you got a pretty event-filled weekend. But aside from weekend plans, we are here for one reason and one reason only. We have Corey, singer of the band 90s Kids here. Corey, how's everything going?
Everything's going great, guys. Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be on the show.
No problem. And here's a bit of backstory for everybody listening. Corey and I interviewed Corey and his band 90s Kids about, 2 months ago when you guys dropped Slow Motion. And that song is still, stuck in my head in, my mental MP3 player to this day. I still think about it and, the main chorus, it's one of those choruses that really stick in your head. Really hard to get. And I feel like a lot of bands right now are sort of coming back to that, let's get that really catchy chorus that'll stick in a type way of thinking. It's really good, and I'm really glad you guys are sort of leading that forefront. But aside from Slow Motion, you guys just dropped a single not too long ago called Body Language. Let's dive straight into the meat and potatoes of this thing. Where did it all come from?
Well, man, hey, first of all, I want to say thanks so much for the kind words on Slow Motion. It's it's really cool to hear that you guys connected with that one, and certainly was all about being catchy and all about being that earworm that kind of just gets stuck in your head. And something that came out really super easy. It was something that just felt natural. And I think it was actually one of the first passes at trying to write it. It came out. So thanks for the kind words on that one. It's not often a song comes out that naturally and that easy. So I'm really glad that you guys enjoy that one. But yeah, like you said, as far as our recent single goes, we dropped Body Language about a month ago. And this one's really different for us in the sense that we were not the only writers on this song. It was actually a big co-write between us and a number of our friends. We had a couple of friends down in Nashville, a couple of producers by the name of Jacob Vanyo and Austin Niverell, as well as a couple of our friends from a band also from Ohio called Harbor. Gotcha. So it was a big co-write. I think there were probably six writers on it. Wow. So it was a big co-write, but really it came at such a great time for us because I think one thing that a lot of bands go through is writer's block. And I think that doesn't even necessarily only limit itself to music. I mean, all kinds of artists go through writer's block. We sat down with these guys when we were going through a period of just, okay, what are we doing? We're doing a lot of experimenting with our sound, but really nothing's kind of sticking, right? And so we sat down and Body Language came out, and it was just a song that really required so much effort and so much care from, a handful of people. And I think everybody's brains kind of came together to make the song the best it could be. So a big thanks to the guys from Harbor, a big thanks to Austin and Jacob who helped us write and produce this thing. We're really happy with the way this one sounds, and I think it's a good indication of what you'll hear in the future from us.
Okay, so you mentioned there were 6 or 7 people writing this. How do you manage all those thoughts in one room? Because that's a lot.
Well, yeah, and you're totally right about that. It's definitely a delicate process, right? Because if the chemistry is not right when you're kind of co-writing with people, it really can turn out poorly. You can have a song that nobody's quite happy with, but I think the good thing is everybody came into it so positively. And we had been good friends with most of these guys for a number of years. So I think everybody kind of understood how everybody writes, how everybody thinks, what everybody wants, you know, out of this song. And I think that's kind of how it came together, right? Is we all understood each other. We all had a chemistry as friends and as writers and as musicians for a number of years. And, you know, this being the first time that we really sat down to create something together, I think it all turned out well because of that mutual chemistry and understanding that we had with each other.
Right.
And that's so important, because like, if you don't have that chemistry, if you aren't on that same creative wavelength, it can be really hard to create something that feels meaningful. And I'm really happy to hear that all of y'all were in that same kind of wavelength, that chemistry was there. It shows through in the single itself. For sure. Like, you can always tell like what kind of music was created with people that are like-minded and people who are just kind of creating just to create something.
Right. And that's such a good point that you make. I think the way the industry is going is you see so many collabs now in the pop world, mm-hmm. and you can kind of tell when something clicks and when it doesn't. And I think, that's a really interesting point that you make. You know, you'll see all kinds of artists collaborating with each other, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So
yeah.
I think that chemistry and that friendship and that understanding is one of the most important pieces to that.
It's essentially not even like, it's a semi-codependent relationship.
Exactly. That's such an interesting way to put it.
Because it's like, if I'm working on a relationship, I want it to be the best it can be. If me and the person can't see eye to eye on certain things, or at least have the same thought process or like morals, then it's not gonna.
Right. And I think it's so interesting when you're coming together to put out, you know, a piece of work like that, a piece of art, because everybody has a say in it, and it's kind of everyone's baby, right?
Yeah.
And nobody wants to put their baby out there if it's not perfect, right?
When it's not perfect already, like, you come together to create and see it grow and see it take shape. And then once it's ready, like, you want it to be like at its absolute strongest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that you can do that is if you're working with people who have like-minded goals.
Right.
The truth of the matter.
Right. It's all about the positivity and all about the goal at hand, right? If everybody's coming in with a mutual understanding and everybody's positive, which, you know, thankfully everybody was absolutely great. It was, you know, one of the best writing processes that we've had, just because, you know, it was a lot of creative people, a lot of really good musicians coming together to create something. And it was really just an air of positivity around that whole process. So we're very happy with how it came out.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
So, being that we have body language, is there anything else in the chamber before 2019 ends?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You'll hear some more music before 2019 ends. I think, you know, we do things a little bit interestingly in how we release our music. So we did this with our first EP, Volume 1, and we're doing this with our second EP, Volume 2, where we kind of release it as we write it, as it's finished, right? Instead of releasing it all at once and making everybody wait, you know, up to a year for new music. Mm-hmm. You know, we prefer to just drop a song every few months. And so the plan was always to release Volume 2 as an EP with a couple unreleased songs at the end of it, just to kind of make the EP itself sort of an event, sort of a release in its own. But with body language, we kind of felt like this was a natural bookend to our Volume 2 EP. So when Volume 2 drops, it's only going to be the four songs that have come out so far. But very shortly after, in this fall, actually, we're going to be putting out new singles from our next body of work. And I think you'll really see sort of a progression to a wider base of influences with our music. I think we're very excited and kind of the change that's taken place in our songwriting. And I think body language is kind of the perfect pivoting point from what we were doing towards what we want to do with our music. So I think you guys can look to the early to mid fall to hear some new music coming soon, and we could not be more excited about it.
How would you describe the progression or the direction that you're going in? Like, I mean, we've all heard your music, and we know that, like, what you've done, and you know where you're, and you know, of course, where you're going. Like, we don't know, we're not psychic. So like, how would you describe this progression, this direction that you're going in after 22 comes out?
Yeah, so I would say the first two EPs have really been a lot about fun, a lot about nostalgia, a lot about the positive memories that you have of growing up. And I think musically, right, I think musically it's been very in that vein. A lot of 1975, Walk the Moon influences, just fun, retro-tinged pop. I think with the new stuff, and we kind of realized this throughout this writing process of volume two, is that we have a lot of other influences that don't really come out in our music thus far that we think we can tell really cool stories with. So artists like Jeremy Zucker, for example, Chelsea Cutler, kind of more of the moody, modern style pop stuff. That's out now is really what we listen to a lot these days. And so I think you'll hear a shift in our sound towards the kind of more mature, modern stuff. But we definitely don't want to lose what makes 90s kids 90s kids.
Right.
We always want to hear music a certain way. We want ourselves to come through and I think that's kind of why the writer's block came up in a way, before body language, right? Because we knew where we wanted to go. We just weren't quite sure how to get there. So it took a lot of experimentation. It took some co-writing, and it took a couple months to kind of figure out, okay, how are we going to take that next step? And we've got a few songs done now that, we really think that has been accomplished, and we're really excited to kind of show off the other influences that kind of define what our music is. And I think the next couple singles are certainly going to surprise people, but I don't think they're going to feel totally out of left field at all.
Right. Like, they'll feel like they'll be like, oh, this is a good surprise. Like, this isn't like, oh, what are they doing?
I certainly hope so.
He's going to put off six surprises, like those kind of surprises.
Right. Yeah, that's the goal. And you know what? I think it's certainly just it's about not being afraid to take a risk, right? You know, we've found a formula where it feels like people connect with what we do now, but we think we can take it further. We think we can write stuff that's a little bit deeper, stuff that's a little bit more meaningful, a little bit more moody, and with different sound palettes, and we think that that might translate well to our current fan base and hopefully connect with some more people as well. So we certainly don't want to forget what we were, but like you said, yeah, we want to kind of drop some pleasant surprises, if you will.
Surprises, yeah.
So being that you guys sort of have your blueprint, what do you want to do visually?
Man, it's really funny that you asked this, because these are conversations that we have every single day. And, I think you're going to see things come out both on the stage and off the stage visually that are really going to define the next era of 90s kids. And to give you a little bit of background, the visual stuff really started becoming important to us during the recording process of this new EP. We were always concerned about having a good aesthetic, but we started to translate that on the stage. And Thad, you might have seen this.
Yeah, I have.
So we do a light show, and our keyboard player Matt programs that, and he's an absolute genius with it. But as this new music has come out and as things have started to kind of ramp up for us, we've taken that a lot more seriously. And we're playing a big hometown headliner show here in the fall. And everything that we do visually on the stage will be totally ramped up.
I wish I could be there, but Ohio is so far.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, hey, if you guys can make it out, your tickets are on us. But, you know, if not, we'll be bringing it to New York again soon.
What was the last movie you watched?
I got to think about this. You guys go first.
I'm trying to see Hobbs and Shaw, but haven't had any chance yet.
You think Hobbs and Shaw is worth seeing?
Hey, I'm a sucker for the Fast and Furious franchise, so, like, I feel like I'm doing myself a disservice if I don't.
I mean,
it has The Rock. Come on.
I'm just asking. I don't know. That's not my favorite franchise. So, like,
I was just curious. Not everybody likes Fast Cars.
I love Fast Cars. I just feel like there's been so many of them.
I mean, look at Transformers, and they still make money.
I know. Well, to be fair, I haven't seen Transformers 3. Did you say Transformers? That was on the.
Yeah,
said?
I said
Transformers. No, I didn't see number 3.
The third one is honestly the best, and I feel like they should have stopped at 3 because 4 mm-hmm. and 5 were definitely not needed.
Wait, there was one after, there was a fifth one?
Yeah, it came out like, what, 2 years ago? It had to deal with like medieval knights and stuff and like how Autobots even existed in the time of Lancelot and
that. Oh my god.
Yeah.
I remember seeing previews for that and I was just like, why is this happening to me?
Literally. It wasn't actually all that bad. Like, I'll give Michael Bay credit. He has way too many explosions in this movie, but for his final outing on Transformers, it was. Bumblebee, however, fantastic.
For all of our listeners out there, my face is a face of confusion and disgust right now. Like, what?
Yeah.
Anyway, reeling it back into the question, I think the last movie I saw was, I think it was either Into the Spider-Verse or it was probably The Favorite. Oh, yeah, no, I think it was The Favorite. I think that was the last movie I went to go see.
How was that?
It was amazing, for one, because I love Rachel Weisz. She's beautiful, and she's just so beautiful. Oh, my God.
She's a great actress.
She's a great actress. She's intelligent. She's, like, hasn't aged a day. Like, I remember the first movie I ever saw her was in The Mummy with Brandon Fraser. And right
That's such
there,
a classic movie.
Right then and there, I was just like, I need to make sure I watch every movie that this woman is in for, like, the rest of my life. Like,
I feel like we definitely got a woman crush situation going on here.
Okay. She just added onto the list of crushes I have. Crushes on the floor.
An ever-growing and expanding list.
That's fine. They, like, it's like an ebbing and flowing list. I feel like it's not so much like a, like, I think it's like a professional crush. Like, I feel like I have more crushes on people that, like, I admire for, like, their work ethic.
What are your favorite foods?
I would say for me, and I would say for 90s kids as a whole, this isn't maybe something you can get out of the fridge, but it's something that really formulated on tour mm-hmm. for the first time. We are huge Taco Bell guys.
Yeah.
I love Taco Bell. It's been a long journey from being a kid and hating Taco Bell, but they've really turned the corner. I think their food's absolutely incredible. And, like, when you're hungry, I don't think there's much that can really, serve that appetite like Taco Bell can in the fast food industry.
I've never had Taco Bell.
Never?
Never.
Okay, that needs to change.
No, I'm good.
Why? I'm good.
Well, because, like, I mean, growing up, like, I'm Colombian, so, like.
Right. Oh, okay. I get it.
No reason to ever go to Taco Bell.
Yeah,
That makes sense.
Like, I remember my older sister one time asked, "Oh, Mom, can we go get fast food?" And my mom was like, "No, where would we even go?" And she was like, "Can we just go to Taco Bell?" And my mom was like, Camila, we have tacos at home. I will make them for you.
That sounds great. Like, I feel like every mom always has that conversation at some
point. Yeah.
Like, no, well, we have that at home.
Yeah, that's a meme. Spend money. That's a meme now.
Yeah. I think it was more like my mom was like, no, that's not real Latin food. Please no. But like, I don't know. My mom is a freaking amazing cook. Shout out to my mom. She's probably going to listen to this episode. Maybe. Who knows?
Thanks for being amazing.
Hey, mom.
She's an amazing cook. I loved most of the things that she ever made me. Yeah. The only thing that I think that she ever made me that I didn't like was, I think it was like whenever we first tried to do the whole Brussels sprout thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know how like when you're like, for whatever reason, people think it's a good idea to boil them.
I feel like they're kind of an acquired taste too. So
I love Brussels sprouts now. I figured out that I like them roasted.
Yeah. And, like, and they have to be seasoned and stuff too.
They're so delicious.
Yes. Agreed.
Got any favorite TV shows? Anything you like to watch on Netflix?
We've all been watching the absolute hell out of Stranger Things 3.
Such a great show.
We've all finished it.
So good.
Did awesome you ugly show. Cry at the end? Because I did.
I did.
Pretty close to it. I mean, wow. Just what a great season. I think everybody was wondering if they could live up to season one, and I think they did.
They literally just kept upping the bar. I'm at that point. It's like, where do they go now?
And you know what I want to say also is I think they really upped the nostalgia too.
Yeah.
I mean, really, in the first season, it was big, but it was more subtle.
Yeah.
And this season in particular, you know, being in like the mid-80s and being out in public at the mall, like,
yeah,
they totally just nailed it. I mean, yeah, seeing all the old logos and, you know, watching them go to the movie theater and see Back to the Future or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy. I was getting chills the whole time.
I remember watching the first episode, like the first season, you talking about like how they upped the nostalgia level.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first season was like, oh, we're in the 80s. This takes place in the 80s. But like this season was like, oh shit, we're in the 80s.
Yeah.
Right. Like this show
we're heavily in the 80s.
Yeah.
The old Gap logo, freaking, what was it? Coca-Cola Classic?
Yeah. Burger King, Orange Julius.
And let's not forget everybody's new favorite iconic restaurant, Scoops Ahoy. I wish Scoops Ahoy existed.
Technically it does, but just
technically it does it back in Robbins.
Yeah.
Oh, is it really? I didn't know it was real.
Yeah, well, they made, like, you know the flavor that they mentioned in the show? It's, like, something...
The SSS Butterscotch?
Butterscotch, that's it.
Yeah.
So,
no way.
Baskin Robbins made it a flavor. So, go to Baskin Robbins and see if it's there still.
I gotta check that out.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for Stranger Things, and, I mean, yeah, that nostalgia was, like, it was so inspiring, actually, like... one of our new tracks is actually inspired by a scene in the new Stranger Things. So that'll make two songs that we have out that are completely Stranger Things inspired. So it's pretty cool. It's definitely a creatively inspiring show for us.
So aside from Taco Bell, aside from Stranger Things, what are some other hobbies?
It's so crazy because all of us work full-time jobs and then we come home and do the music thing all the time, but I mean, it's, we basically kind of live and breathe it, right? We do our jobs during the day and then we get home and we write and we record music and we practice and we work on the live show. But outside of that, I mean, we all like to we're big patio drinkers. We like to go have a couple beers on nice patio spots around Columbus.
A couple of White Claws.
Yeah. Plug White Claw. Go try it.
Because you guys have a White Claw shirt available.
We do. It is definitely the hot commodity on our merch table. It keeps selling out.
You guys caught the hype before it became the hype. That's incredible.
Now it's like everybody and their brother is doing a seltzer, like Four Loko just dropped one.
Four Loko?
It's all ridiculous. Of
the other seltzer that on the Instagram that announced the launch of the product. They
tagged, is it Natty?
Yeah, they like they like tagged like White Claw, Natty Light, all of the like hard seltzer like brands in the and like the Insta that was like, hey, guess what we're gonna be doing soon. And I was just like, wow,
so petty.
Wow for Loco.
Yeah, everybody is hopping on the train now. It's like, yeah. Who's next?
I don't know.
Yeah,
Starbucks, who knows.
So yeah, definitely, you know, big beer, White Claw guys on the patio. We all like to, well, some of us like to work out, some of us don't. I can't say I'm an avid exerciser, but some of us are.
I honestly wish I were an avid.
Jesus, high school reunions, dude. My high school had a 5-year reunion for whatever reason.
How was that?
I didn't go. I was here. I mean, one, because, like, it's, I was still in grad school while, like, I had an internship that was really, like, time-consuming and competitive, and I was just like, oh, man, do I really want to go back to Louisiana right now and, like, I don't know, deal with all of that? No, there just wasn't an opportunity or a strong enough reason for me to really want to go back. And at least not yet. I feel like every time I go back home, it's already like a high school reunion because not many people leave my hometown. Mm-hmm. I feel, at least like from what I've observed, like I feel like if I went to a bar on a Saturday night, oh no, Saturday is college football game. So Friday night, if I went to a bar on a Friday night in my hometown, I would see most of my classmates.
Wow.
Like, just not, I don't know, not worth it right now to go back.
I feel that.
Yeah.
So to wrap things up, what are you most looking forward to
the rest of 2019?
I think, man, there's so many cool things happening right now that it's hard to choose. But I think really it's about getting this new music out. I mean, we had a long talk about how excited we are for this new direction that we're pursuing. You know, we're very excited to see that all get finished and come to fruition. I think this fall, everyone's finally going to see, you know, what the next chapter of our band looks like. And it's certainly a nerve-wracking thing, right? Mm-hmm. You know, as we also discussed, putting your baby out there it's tough because you don't know if people are going to like it. But it's also very inspiring and motivating. So I think getting that new music out there and, you know, wrapping up the year with our big hometown headliner, I think all that stuff coming together is just really making it an exciting end of the year for us. And, you know, hopefully we'll have a lot more going on next year as well. So really, it's just been a huge period of growth for us these past 5 or 6 months. And, you know, things are looking up and we're just super grateful for all the support we've gotten. And putting out this new music and playing these last couple shows this year should be a lot of fun. So we can't wait.
Not to mention, if you're going to that 90s Kids hometown show, they're giving away a Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, people forget that. That's a big...
Come on.
Yeah, we
wouldn't want that, man.
We gave away a PS4 last year at our headliner. And what? This year we were like, all right, are we going to do a giveaway? And then we're just like, if we're going to give anything away, it should be a Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I could win it. I mean, geez, I don't think I'm allowed to, but, you know, I wish I could. So if
in
you don't come to the
alternate reality, you could win.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I look at things now.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, thanks for shouting that one out. That's a big piece. If you don't come for the music, come for the Nintendo.
Yeah.
But you got to come for the music.
Come for the Nintendo, stay for the music. yeah. Stay for the White Claw shirts.
Oh, yeah. We'll have some more here soon, too. I think some more this fall.
You guys should do fanny packs.
New music. Oh, my God. That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Just a suggestion.
No, that's actually a great idea. We could do like a little round of fanny packs. I mean, we got dad hats, we got shirts. I think it's about time.
What?
That's the next item.
They're just baseball caps.
But like, what makes them a dad hat?
Because dads wear them. That's why.
I wear them.
I think you just kind of know it when you see it.
Yeah. Right?
It's like, it's not like a snapback and it's not a fitted hat.
It's so,
I think it's something to do with the material and the clasp on the back.
That too.
But also, yes, a dad would just wear it. So exactly. I think that's the definition we'll go with.
Gotcha. Yeah, I remember I heard that for the first time like this past weekend and I was like, shit, what's a dad hat? I've heard of mom jeans. The band, but also, you know, the beans. And
great band.
It's a great band. That's, yeah, I love that band so much. But then I heard the term dad hat and I was like, what? There's just an ever expanding list of like parent vernacular for clothing.
I can't wait to see what happens next.
What's next? Like, what's like aunt? I don't know. Like freaking ant shades. I don't know.
Ant
just like
sandals.
Ant sandals.
There we go.
There we go.
We just predicted the next merch craze of 2020, people. Heard it here first.
There we go.
Perfect. There we go.
All right. Well, I don't have anything. Allie, do you have anything else for Corey?
The only question that I have, that I like to ask this every musician or band that I interview. I'm a huge believer in like manifestation. If you just like say it and then believe it and then work towards it, it can happen. So like in the current like state of y'all of like 90s kids music career, like if you could have a dream show with anyone, who would it be? You have three other bands other than yourself on the bill. Who's playing?
And it can be anybody.
Anybody, preferably still together. Preferably.
Yeah. I will answer for. I will answer for all of us. I think every single member of the band would agree with this. Headlining would be the 1975.
Dope.
And then we would have Lainey, and then we would have the band Camino. And then us.
The band Camino. I want to see them live so bad.
They're coming to Columbus on my birthday. I cannot wait. It's going to be
that's an awesome
such birthday. A great show. They're super cool guys, too. We met them down when we played in
I'm friends with their. I'm friends with
ago.
Their drummer, Garrison. Hey, Garrison, if you listen to this,
yeah,
what's
Garrison.
Up, dude?
Yeah, super nice guys. We met Spencer a few times. Met the other guys maybe once. And, you know, they're definitely a band that we want to play with. They're like, I think they're like the next big thing in that scene. They're killing it right now.
They have a new EP coming out. Like
it's Friday. Yeah.
Insane. So much new music coming out. It's like, I try to keep up with everything, but it's like, there's so much.
Every time that I get like excited, but also like overwhelmed on New Music Fridays, because I just want to listen to everything that comes out. But there's literally so much.
Yeah.
Like, overwhelming. You don't want to miss anything, but.
Fridays are huge. It's all about that Release Radar playlist on Spotify. Mm-hmm. That's like a lifesaver now.
I know.
Release Radar. You can never forget about it.
Spotify, you guys should definitely.
Stream Body Language by 90s Kids, along with everything else they've released.
Now, that's not a biased statement.
No, not biased.
Man, thank you guys so much. That
no
means
problem.
So much
thank
to us.
You,
we're just
Corey. Any shout outs you want to give before we sign off?
It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you guys. It's fun to break up the music talk and just talk about life for a little bit as well. And we really love what you guys are doing with the blog. So, you know, we consider you guys really good friends. So thank you guys for having us.
No problem, dude. Anytime. Ali, any shout outs you want to give?
Hey mom, what's up?
Hi mom.
I know my sisters won't, I have two triple sisters and I don't know if they're gonna listen to this, even though I tell them that I'm doing this now. But hey guys, what's up my other two? I hope you're having a great day today.
It's still so crazy that you're a triple.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like, that's rare. You're like a rare Pokemon.
I'm a shiny Pokemon.
Indeed.
That's crazy.
In terms of me and shout outs to Bethany, shout outs to Brian, shout outs everybody in our group chat of mutual friends. You guys are all awesome. Shout outs to Taco Bell. Shout outs to Scott Waldman of Waldman Management. We're awesome. Can't wait to see you soon.
How about Steve Harrington?
Yeah, shout out to Steve Harrington. Shout outs to the entire cast of Stranger Things. shout outs to the band Camino. Shout outs to Garrison, Katie. Who else can I give shout outs to? Before we go, I want to give a quick shout out to Outer House Productions, based right here in New York. They're doing some amazing shows coming up, and we're going to be partnering with them in terms of podcast guests. Stay tuned for more info.
Also, another shout out to everybody at the Nerdcore Network. Without these fantastic people, this show would not be possible, and I couldn't ask for better people to partner up with than Raul and Brad. To everybody else on the panels and shows on the network, thank you guys so much for believing in me and what I want
to
do.
For everybody who wants to stay connected with 90s Kids, where can they follow you all?
You can follow us on Spotify. Just look up 90s Kids. And then all of our social media accounts are under @90s Kids Band. That's 90s Kids Band. Gotcha. So give us a follow, keep in touch. And once again, thank you guys so much for having me. It's been a blast, and let's keep in touch.
Definitely.
From everyone here at Punk Mouth Radio, it's been Thad, it's been Allie, it's been Corey, and we'll see you all next time.